Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, Rob Greaves here, and we're about to share the third and final part of the story of 85-year-old Marie Anger. Marty's father died from tuberculosis before she was born. Regretfully, Marty never got to know him because of this and was brought up by her mother, with whom she shared a loving relationship. She meets and marries Ken and at the end of World War II agrees to marry him. Now, although born in England, Ken has been living in Australia, and because his passage back to Australia had been booked before he met Marty, he has to return alone, with her following him later. But Marty eventually arrives in Australia and she and Ken marry and have children. But both Marty and Ken have difficulties in settling down and, as we'll learn this week, pack up lock, stock and barrel and return to England, only to decide later on that in fact they do want to live in Australia. Marty, supported by Ken, tells an engaging and sometimes quite complex story, but it all makes sense, and by the end of the program we truly understand the amazing relationship they share, having been married for 61 years. Now we pick up with Marty remembering that Ken passed his driving test about the time she got a great job working with a tailor.
And I remember that Ken passed his driving test while we were there. I remember him coming up at that building, which was torn down, and saying, I've passed. Passed his driving test.
That would have been liberating for both of you.
It was.
All of a sudden you're independent with your transport.
It opened the world.
Do you remember your first car?
Yes, well, Ken actually bought it damaged.
Yeah. And because he's a panel beater.
Yeah, and he repaired it.
Of course.
And so that, you know, it was quite a good thing then, you know. I can remember I was a bit worried about the money because we didn't have an awful lot of money. And I said, look, we've got £100 to buy the... It was 100, wasn't it? I think it was, and I sewed it in his jacket. I was so frightened him losing it, so he put it inside a pocket, and I sewed it. He allowed me to do it. I showed how much he loved me. Yeah. He said, "Oh, I don't want that." And I said, "Yes, you might lose it." So I sewed it inside. So when he got to work, he must have bought the car. He must have had to undone all the stitching.
A wallet would have been a lot easier.
Yeah.
What about house? When did you get your first own home?
Oh, our first own home. Well, we actually, for a while, we rented quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. As most people did,
yes. And it was, I'm trying to think, where did we, our first home? Can you remember, Ken? Just trying to think. Oh, I know, yes. There was a couple that were going away on a trip like we'd done. And that they had this house, and that was at Bentley. And I can't remember how much money it was, but I do remember, the one I do remember is an old house, which again has been torn away and it's gone now, because we went to have a look one day and I thought, oh, it's gone. And it was one of those lovely old... Went right round. And we had this great big huge room, and this old lady sort of looked after us, didn't she? And she used to cook for us, and so I didn't have to do any cooking because I didn't know how to cook anyway.
That's when we were renting, Laurie.
That's when we were renting.
Yes.
And she did all our cooking, and oh, it was wonderful. I just went off to work and... You know, everything was done. Beds were made and everything.
So that all changes when you get your own home, but it's yours.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So
yes.
Did that give you great pleasure, moving into your own home?
It was strange, really. Just Scoresby, that's where we bought our first home. And it was a flat-roofed one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it had a flat roof.
Scoresby in those days would have been pretty wild and
open, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was. Again, the roads weren't made. I quite enjoyed renting because if you didn't like it, you could move along.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose in a way it did give us a sense of ownership, you know, that feeling it's ours, you know, so it was different.
Did your first child come along?
Oh, well, I was pregnant with Stephen. Get off the train. I used to walk. Just trying to think. I used to walk all the way down. Oh, I forget now. The train station, you know, where all the clocks
are. Flinders Street.
Yes, Flinders Street. And I used to walk from there all the way down to the hospital, pregnant. I used to find I enjoyed that because I saw a bit of the city, even though I was pregnant. You know, it was the women's hospital. I think it's been...
It's moved now. They moved it.
Oh, they've moved
it. Yeah, yeah. It just got too small, I think. So when Stephen was born, that would have been a very joyous moment for you.
It was sad, and because there was no relatives there. You know, the mum and...
Yes.
Mardin of the dad, of course, but
mum and
Ken's
brother.
Mum and dad. And that was sad, and I remember there was a thrill of... I wanted a boy to start off with, and I thought, oh, how wonderful. It was Steve, and I said to King, go and have a look at him. It was a very tiny little thing, wasn't
it?
It was a
small
scrap. He seemed very tiny when I had him, but he was tiny. But... And then...
How many children did you have altogether?
Only the two.
Two boys?
Two boys, yeah. And because we had Mark at home. He was a different
altogether.
Was that accidental
or deliberate?
No, they did a lot of that.
Home births.
In a way, it sounds funny, really, but in a way I found it... They were very, very helpful, the midwives. You know, the only thing was that it was very tiring. A lot of, you get a lot of visitors coming in.
Yes.
You know, I remember one of my friends, she came and she stayed so late. And I was so tired, I was nearly dropping off. But she said, I'm going home after I've seen Mark. That was our second
boy.
Right. I'm going home to make a baby. Because he's so lovely. He was a chubby baby, whereas Stephen
was... Our second son, Mark, he was born in England when we were home from Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. So you went back and visited?
We did.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
What year was that? Did you go back? What decade? Then was it in the 60s or the 70s?
Oh, yes, I've left
in
out.
In the 60s. Yeah. So that means you did get to see Mum again.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I forgot to tell you that.
Yes, yeah, so you go back to England for a visit and you see your mum.
And we bought a place over there and come back again.
Well, hang on. So did you go over there to live or did you originally go to visit just for a holiday?
No, we went. We thought we might live over there.
We didn't know really what we were going into, you know. We just wanted to go home to have a look.
Yeah, and what we see what happens.
Yeah.
So how was it seeing Mum again? What was that like?
Oh, it was lovely. I dressed up Stephen and they were fighting over him to carry, you know.
She must have been just so excited.
Oh, it was. Yeah, they both were. I mean, even though Ken's got family... You know, other young ones. It was lovely to see the mums, you know, with at last we're seeing this, the other grandchild.
Yes.
It must have been wonderful for them. Yeah.
Had London changed at all when you left to when you went back?
I don't know. I remember before I left, Mum took me through London because she loved London.
Yes.
She absolutely did. I remember once sitting there on a chair and Mum looked at the bridge, you know, that opens up London Bridge, yeah. And she said, I love London so much. And she said, because it is a wonderful bridge, the way it opens
up. We're talking about that one up on the wall there, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, roughly. Yeah, well, in a rough sort of way.
So you go back and you actually buy a house in England,
yeah,
to live.
Yeah, we did.
Whereabouts, in London again or out in...
It was right near the river too, wasn't it?
Near the Thames.
Near Barnes, Barnes and Mortlake.
Yeah, okay. So it's a nice spot to be. It was, yeah, right... Right,
near the River Thames.
Yes.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
So why did you leave to come back to Australia?
I don't know. We got a letter from somebody we used to know who offered us somewhere for us to live. And it started up a, you know, the feeling, I'd like to go again.
I still call Australia home. I'm always traveling. I love being free. And so I keep leaving the sun and the sea. But my heart lies away. Still call Australia home. All the sons and daughters spinning around the world, away from their family and friends. But as the world gets old, I realize something I've always known. I still call Australia home.
Listen to older voices. Where stories from the past find a home in the present.
I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Marie Ainger. And Marie is recollecting the time that she and Ken, having come from England to Australia, went back to England and, having established a home there, changed their mind and decided to come back to Australia again.
It's funny, it was sort of reverse. We were wanted to go back.
You wanted to come back to Australia.
Isn't it strange?
We couldn't make up our minds.
We had a terribly...
Australia or England, and we've kept going back.
Backwards and forwards.
We had a terrible winter while we were over there. It was right. Bitter.
And that helped tip it, didn't it?
It did. It was so bitter that all the gutterings, and not like gutterings here, they're... very heavy gutterings of the very old building.
Sure.
And weighty, weren't they, again, those gutterings?
There was so much snow on the roof that when it melted, It slid down and took the guttering with it.
Oh, my goodness me. Okay.
Yeah. It was dangerous, really. And so, anyway, we went back again because that really did sway. I thought, I don't think I could go through another winter like that.
So how long were you in England for that second time, roughly? I mean, months, years?
Probably...
We didn't stay...
2 years.
2 years.
Two, three.
So the boys had started to grow up, but hadn't grown up...
It was a bit sad, really, because they had a lovely school over there in England. They had one of those schools, more like a private school, really, had a swimming pool, had everything that the boys loved.
So you're having to weigh all this up, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go through another winter like that, but the boys are happy, mum's happy.
Yeah. Mm. It was very sad. I remember one weekend when they come over, I asked Steve and I said, how did you feel when you left? He said, I didn't want to leave. I know you loved that school, didn't you, Steve? And he said, I really did. I knew it was just the school for him because he's that type of boy. He didn't like schools where he got pushed around. He was one of those quiet boys. And, you know, and I thought, oh, dear, what have I done? But anyway, it was done. And
so you get on another boat?
Another boat. You've been on a few.
Yes, you have, haven't you? Back to Australia, back to Melbourne?
Yes. I don't know why we did at one time try Queensland, didn't we, Ken?
We did.
And we tried Queensland and it was sad, really. We just didn't settle there. It was too harsh. And there was something about it. I'm used to cooler climes and all that humidity and all that. I felt very harsh.
If you think about it, you were brought up in England, which is hardly a warm climate. I mean, okay, we have a summer bit there, but not like here. Mm. And then you live in Melbourne, which is pretty temperate. It's, you know, cooler than... So, yes, it would have been a big thing for your body to adjust to.
It was.
So you try Queensland, you go, no, back to Melbourne.
I came back again, yes.
Where did you come back to now? What part of Melbourne?
We lived in Sydney for a while.
Oh, and you went to Sydney as well. So you've actually seen quite a bit of Australia
that way.
We have,
yeah.
Most people that go to Sydney end up liking it, but why did you leave Sydney? Because it's not as hot as Queensland.
No, it isn't.
We could never make up our minds where.
Quite obvious.
That's people used to say that.
We'd like to have a try somewhere else.
No, you know, it's actually, I think, really good that you do that.
We finished up in Melbourne.
Okay, so we've gone England, Australia, Melbourne, back to England, back to Australia, we've gone Queensland, we've gone Sydney, but in the end, back to Melbourne.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And so we'd done all these travels and we landed up in a retirement village. It's strange, isn't it?
But you've ended up in a retirement village because, what, are you in your 80s now?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
When did you make a decision that living independently in a home wasn't an option any longer? How did that come about?
Well, we were living in this, everybody thought, lovely house. And it had a huge garden. It was really big, like a park. I mean, goodness knows what it costs now.
Mm.
We had no idea the prices would go up like they did.
No, I don't think
we did. But it was too much for Ken.
Sure. So Ken had retired by now, I gather.
Yes, and it was really something he couldn't deal with later on anyway.
Yeah.
So we knew that we'd have to go somewhere that was helpful. You had to sort of think, well, I know I can't hide the fact that I'm getting older. It's no good saying any other way. We are older and I can't do the work like I used to.
Yes. So Marie, when did you begin to lose your mobility?
Well, started getting this pain in my neck and I didn't know what it was. And I went to the doctor and the doctor there said, well, I think I'd like you to go and see a not a specialist, a surgeon. And I said, a surgeon? Well, I've only come for a pain in my neck. And she said, yes, I would like. She didn't say any more. She said, I just want you to go. And she wrote out, you know, where she wanted me to go to. And it turned out that there was some problem that I had. I had x-rays and it would gradually get more so and it would spread. It was spinal stenosis. It's narrowing of the spine. And it sort of, as you get older or as time goes by, it will gradually, you know, the spine will gradually narrow still. And
that means you just don't have that.
Bit by bit,
yes.
It starts really with pain, and then from pain you start losing the... I can't remember exactly when it was, it all gradually bit by bit.
Did that start to happen after you moved into the village or before you moved?
I've had it over many years now. Again.
Yeah. So again, that would have been part of the reasoning in coming into a residential area like this.
Yes, I think it was. We're close to quite a few things here. We're close to the doctor. We're close to... They have a doctor here too, if you want to use it. There's quite a few things here, even though we're not near the sea, you know, which we were at one place. We were close to the sea.
Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Radio.
Does it meet most of your needs?
Well, it does in a way, Rob. But when we first moved in, we thought it was wonderful, and because I was more agile then.
Mm-hmm.
But now, of course, I'm really stuck. So most of my needs have gone because I can't join in things like I used to.
Right.
It's gone.
Yes.
So it's the things that we've moved into here, we can't join in, can we?
No,
and because in a way it's rather, because Ken's my carer, it would be anyway, but they determined that he'd be my carer.
Yes.
It's by him, he's stuck as well, isn't he? I mean, what my problems I've got, he's stuck with it as well.
But that's the basis of a real marriage, though, isn't it?
It is.
That you don't just take a partner for the good times.
We're two together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You go down this journey and you share the journey the whole way.
That's right, yes.
And it's been quite a remarkable journey, hasn't it?
It has. When I think I've been very lucky right from the beginning to meet Ken, lucky because of the fact that he's been a wonderful husband.
Yes.
And he stuck by me.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we can't go on those lots of those holidays, so we have booked chance to holiday to New Zealand. We hope we can do it. But there are lots of things that he can't do because I stuck with me.
I have to step in here and say that I don't want to speak for Ken, but I hardly believe he thinks he's stuck with you.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been married now for over 60 years?
Yes. Yeah.
61
years. Remarkable achievement, especially in this day and age, isn't it?
It is.
People with marriages these days, for one reason or another, just don't seem to survive those sorts of things.
Well, I can never... I mean, I don't know whether it's the person, but... I mean, I find if you've got a problem with anybody, your husband or you discuss it, don't you? Don't these people who quickly get out of a marriage, is it because they can't work things out together? I don't know what it is. You know, Ken and I have always, we've often, I mean, there's sometimes there's an argument.
Of course, you two human
difference
beings. Of course.
In people, but, you know, you soon get over it.
Mm.
You don't suddenly, oh, I'm going to give it all away. It's just
so
not
if you
like
had,
that.
If you had some young couples in here who are just getting married now, what advice would you two give to them to help them in their marriage?
I'd say think about the other person's feelings and find out how you feel, and then you can discuss that hurt that you're going through, and it will be far better than rushing off and not working things out. You've got to work it out together, both of you, not just one having their way.
Yes. Ken, would you see your marriage as a partnership?
Definitely, yeah. Oh, yeah. A very good partnership. We've enjoyed the whole thing.
The whole journey together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, you know, God willing, you've still got some years left yet, and the years you can spend together. It's been a remarkable journey, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. It's been wonderful. Absolutely. Those feelings I had right at the beginning has worked out brilliantly, hasn't it?
Hasn't it?
We did get the story a little bit mixed up in different places, but...
But then again, that's how life is, isn't it?
Quite well, though, in the end.
Yes. Life doesn't present itself in a nice little package that you can make sense of it all the way along the line.
No.
But your story, I think as people listen to it, they will understand this is a story of a young couple who have made the most of all the opportunities
yes.
they were given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are here today together.
Yeah.
Can I just say to you both, what a pleasure it's been speaking to you. Amari and Ken, thank you very much for being on Listen to Older Voices.
And thank you,
Rob. Thank you,
Rob.
Yes, we thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.